पुरुषा परो भवान् पिबाति सोऽयं मम गर्भगो भूत् अहो नीलोकस्य विधं वनं हितात्। In this verse, Devaki is concerned about a special point which is also of importance today for our last point on the six principles of surrender. But before we shall start, I want to know, is it loud enough or is it good? It's quite loud, isn't it? You can hear, Minka, you understand English? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, something. Yeah? Good, Minka? Good, yeah. See, Mother Devaki makes a very interesting point. She says that the whole universe is situated within the Lord. So then, when people hear that Krishna was within the womb of Mother Devaki, they won't be able to believe that. Because, understand, everything, including Devaki, is in Krishna's form. So how can the form of Krishna be with the Devaki? So if Devaki says, people will not be able to believe this. Vidambanam means it is impossible to think of. And therefore they will laugh about me. Krishna and his activities are in fact impossible to think of. We had this in a different leela when Krishna came to his mother after his friends had told Devaki that he had eaten dirt instead of sweets. So Devaki said, why are you always doing such things? And Krishna had answered, no, I have not eaten dirt. They just want to make a complot against me, some political intrigue. Don't believe it. Said Yashoda. Then, if you have not eaten dirt, open your mouth and I shall see. So at that time, Krishna opened his mouth, and in that mouth, Devaki saw sweat. She saw sweat and said tesve. That's all, isn't it? Tesve, no. Poyeteswe, yes. Yes, there was everything in the mouth of the Lord, including herself. And she thought, well, this is a hallucination, this must be Maya. I'm totally confused or something. But what she saw was actually the fact. Krishna had appeared in the universe, he was standing before her, but when he opened his mouth, everything was in his mouth. That is because Krishna is called Turiya. Turiya means he exists in another dimension than our three dimensions which we have. And he can just work wonders. I think we have discussed this point in a previous lecture extensively, but here the same point is made again. Devaki says, people will just laugh about me when I say that the Supreme Lord, who is in whom everything is residing, has appeared within my stomach or my belly. They won't be able to believe it. So this opens an interesting point which I want to bring to your discussion. People, or outside people, will always laugh at the surrendered devotee because they won't be able to understand him. When, for instance, you go to your friends and tell them you have become interested in Krishna consciousness, the people will think, what? What are you doing? This is glupost. Don't go there. It is not good for you. Isn't it? One friend of the devotees just said when he came the first time to his friends, they tried to convince him, they tried to preach to him that he should not follow the path of Krishna consciousness. So fully, this has been always there, and I want to read you how a fully surrendered soul sees this. Madhvacharya says, let the expert moralists say that I am totally confused. The experts of the Vedic scriptures may say that I am misled. And my associates may condemn me as uncultured. My own brothers may disrespect me and call me an idiot. Idioten, yes. The wealthy may say I am mad, the rich people. And the sharp-minded philosophers may severely criticize me as being a great egotist. Nevertheless, my heart cannot move even an inch from the aspiration to serve Govinda's lotus feet. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was commenting the reaction of the materialist to the devotion of the surrendered devotees, he used a verse from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which tells us how a devotee is not at all, how do you say, concerned when the people tell him he is lewd because he has become a devotee. He says, the gossipers, this means those who speak prajalpa, they may offend us, but we shall not take care of them. We will be completely drunken by the wine of the ecstasy of the service to Krishna. You know, when a drunken man comes in, he doesn't care. He doesn't mind that he is not properly dressed even. We shall simply dance, roll on the ground, and faint. We just don't care what the people say about us. This is what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, a fully surrendered soul. See, in the material world, we have a need to be recognized and applauded by others. Then we feel just very, very good. Everyone says, so and so KJ. Then we just feel, oh, finally, he has understood my glories. And we just feel, it's more important to us sometimes than food. To be recognized is sometimes a greater pleasure for some people than even sexually jivot. C'est la vie. This is how the material life goes on. Pratishtha, or the desire for recognition, is so strong that people even are prepared to risk their own lives. I think we have also discussed about this here in Beograd. You know, just in order to get an entry in the Guinness Book of Records, people do the most dangerous things you can imagine. So a devotee is no longer dependent on the recognition offered by the materialistic society. He doesn't care. I will tell you from my own experience, since I took the sacred order of sannyas, I'm always dressed like this. In Skopje, I had to go to the dentist, and Goran thought it is not so good if I come in dhoti, because of just some technical reasons. So I came in my pants, and I felt almost naked. The devotees were looking at me, and were because now I'm used to go in the dhoti, you know. And I was thinking at that time, how nice, when I was not going in the dhoti all the time, I would think it would be so heavy to go in the dhoti outside. Everyone would look, and everyone would, think I'm not properly dressed according to the fashion style, or you would think, but since I'm going in the dhoti, and I feel totally normal in the dhoti, no one is reacting in a bad way, because I'm just so, that's the way I am, you know. It's just, I mean, a lot of people look, but it, I don't care. You know, they look, and some people obviously react, Hare Krishna, but it doesn't matter. One knows one does the right thing. One tries to be a surrendered soul to Krishna. So let the people say whatever they want. We shall be fully intoxicated by the nectar of devotional service. This is how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya reacts to the critics which are there in the material world. It's a very nice experience to only go in the dhoti. I mean, it may not be the best to do at the present time when Serbia is in war with other countries and with itself. So maybe people are a little agitated and so on. That has to be understood. It's only natural in such a situation. But the point is, a devotee should not be dependent on what the ordinary people think of him. It's not a good sign if it's not a sign of spiritual health if you always want to look the way people think you should look. That's why devotee Mataji's don't put shmika on. Only tilak. Because we don't want to impress the materialists. It's not our mission. We want that Krishna says, Dobro. We want the Vaishnavas to be satisfied with us. We do not need the applause of ignorant people. So this is a sign of surrender. To not really care what the outside world is thinking. We come to the sixth principle of surrender, which is Atma nikshepa, it means to give everything to Krishna, beginning from the body and what belongs to the body. That means things in our possessions, like our cars. I mean, you're not so rich here, but your shirts, your dhoti. So from the body to the paraphernalia of the body to the soul, all these things should be given to Krishna. That is called Atma Nishepa, or the surrender of the self. To surrender like this means, in a little way, to die. Materially, a surrendered soul is dead. You know what happens if you die? Then your things which you had go into others' possession, isn't it? Your dhoti will be worn by Bhakta Zale, you know, and your neck beads will be worn by Jagannath, and your shirt will be worn by Bhakta Dejan. So in this way it all goes. A fully surrendered soul, in a similar way, dies a kind of death. But medyutim, this medyutim is a very important medyutim. Medyutim, or medyutva. He becomes ratija. What means ratija? Ratija means he also takes a new birth. Ratija means he is born out of lust. We all have been born out of lust, isn't it? Micah and Tata, we are not in the best of their Krishna consciousness. They were a little in Maya, fully attached. I didn't say anything. Of course we should respect our parents, that's not my point, but I'm just saying they were not in the best of their consciousness, most properly. There was maybe some lust there, you know. So we want to take a second birth. That is ratija, not lustja. Lust means what?
Pojuda.
Ooh, it sounds already so heavy. Pojuda. Ooh. Pojuda. Pojuda. Huh? Pojuda. We want... Now we are Pojuda-ja. Pojuda-ja. And we want to become Rati. Rati means love. Ja. Love. Ja means birth. Jamashtami, for instance. Yeah? So, to give up our false ego, that we are the owners of things, that we possess things, to give up, you know, from our body to the soul, all these things, it means to die a material death, but it means also, in devotional service, to have a spiritual birth. Full surrender is, in other words, not something which is cruel, but something which is very, very nice. When you do full surrender in the material world, it is terrible. Imagine, you know, for instance, in the war, sometimes there are soldiers before a house, and then the inmates in the house do full surrender. They come out, and then the soldiers can do with them whatever they want. And they sometimes do. they take them and put them into some camp, and there some doctor makes experiments on them in the interest of the human being. This happens. This objectively happens. Or they are just brought out of their country, brought into another environment, and they have to work from morning to evening without getting prasadam, you know, without getting anything. So full surrender is something which is in the material world very bad. But if we surrender to Krishna, no problem. In fact, Krishna will take care of the fully surrendered soul. There is nothing which is unattainable for the Supreme Lord. Now, someone who depends on the Supreme Lord is used by the Supreme Lord as an instrument. Kula Shikar, the great king, prays, O Madhusudana, whatever I have done and whatever I will do, nothing is my endeavor. It is all done by you. And you are alone the enjoyer of the fruits. In other words, a devotee who surrenders to Krishna becomes picked up as Krishna's instrument. For instance, let us use the example of a hammer. With a hammer, someone might make a house. That house belongs to not to the hammer. It's not that the hammer will lie on the sofa and watch TV. But it is the person who put all the things together, who gave the nails, who gave the wood, and so on. Who's the owner of that house? In the same way, whatever a devotee does is done as an instrument, and the result is Krishna's. Like I received yesterday an interesting message from Budapest. There is a devotee who just felt very umarang, you know, summer time. But then the devotee heard that the Budapest temple will be visited by an older devotee. So he felt so inspired to just hear that he distributed on that day all of a sudden 115 books. This is for Hungary, it is quite something quite extraordinary. So he was obviously used as an instrument in the hands of the Lord, and being such an instrument, it was very good for, you know, something happened which he could never possibly do on his own. This is explained in the Gautamiya Tantra, that a devotee feels to be engaged by Krishna and used by Krishna, and in this way he does his activities. Isn't that a nice level? Imagine to be taken up by the lotus hand of Krishna Minka and to be guided by Krishna. This is the most wonderful thing you can imagine. It's the most nectarian thing. By the touch of Krishna's lotus hand, you will experience intense bliss. Don't think that an instrument is just an instrument, or it doesn't think, it doesn't do anything. We hear from Goloka Vrindavan, from the Goloka Vrindavan Express, we hear from the books of the Goswamis, that even things which are used in Krishna's service in the spiritual world are fully conscious. For instance, there is a story of the pillow. Do you know the pillow? This thing. It always is on the head of Krishna. But it thinks, oh, this is not very good. I want to be also at the lotus stopala of Krishna. So the pillow moves. A moving pillow. This is a spiritual pillow. Pillow means?
Yastuk.
Yastuk. So the yastuk moves to the lotus stopala of Krishna. So that the lotus stopala are on the yastuk. It's fully conscious, in other words. It knows that, yeah, we must get the mercy from the lotus feet, not the head. This is also all right, the head, but lotus feet are more nectar. So this is the yastuk, the spiritual. Duhone yastuk. I mean, if materialists would hear this, they would think, but the thing is very easy to understand, that in the spiritual world, it's all chinmaya. Chinmaya means everything is fully conscious. There are no things, or there's nothing which has no consciousness. In other words, the soul is, everything is soul, so to say. Soul, the soul world, if you want. So a fully surrendered soul, in other words, who is an instrument of Krishna, he will see Krishna everywhere, in everything. He is never separated from Krishna. There is a verse which we pray every day, where this is fully expressed. Who knows this verse? You know it all, but you may not think when you sing this verse, and therefore... Bhavacharini is consulting the Brahmanas. Yes? No? Which verse do we chant? Every day, where it is said that the Lord is everywhere.
The second verse of Brahma Samhita.
No? Yeah? But what verse? Yes. Itho Nishingho. Nishinga is here. Parato Nishingho. Nishinga is there. Yato to Yami Tato Nishingha. Nishinga is wherever I go. By here Nishingho, that means Nishinga is outside. Hridaye Nishingho. Nishinga is also inside the heart. Nrishingham adhim sharanam prapadye. I surrender to that Lord Nrishingadev, who is the origin. Adhim means the origin. So, this is because of his full surrender. I do not know if you ever were, did you ever fall in love? Man, we should not maybe speak about this so personal. But someone who is in love, he always thinks misli of the person. He can't get that person out of the umma. Isn't it? Like when Srila Prabhupada is a very good example. When he would go somewhere, he would relate everything to Krishna. Everything had a relationship to Krishna. When Prabhupada would see a building, he would immediately think, or say, this would be a nice temple for Krishna. He would not see the building as such, but he would see it in relationship to Krishna. To give you a simple example, when a Maika, a mother, sees the shoes, you know, small shoes, she immediately thinks, my baby, my Miroslav, you know. she doesn't just see the shoes, but she sees Miroslav, you know, you better say that. The noise machine. So in this way, a devotee can see his supreme personality of Godhead everywhere. And the Lord is everywhere. He is pervading everything. This whole material energy is also Krishna. Just like, see the snail, it is coming from my body. The nail is also my body. Isn't it? But it's unconscious. I can bite into it. There is no consciousness. So in the same way, the material energy is also Krishna, but it is the unconscious energy. This is something for Nita-chan to think about. So this is how that the fully surrendered soul, who is acting as an instrument of the Lord, sees the Lord everywhere. And in this way is in full Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, this means this offering to Krishna is not so easy. A good example of a fully surrendered soul is Rukmini. Do you know Rukmini? Rukmini is the daughter of a king. And when she was 16 years old, she was very, very beautiful. As a result, all the kings wanted to marry her. Now there was one rascal king, his name was Shishupal. This Shishupal was such a demon that the first sentence which he spoke, you know, normally one says, the first thing one says is Maika or Tata, isn't it? But he said the first sentence which is very difficult for babies, Krishna, it's extremely difficult to pronounce this. Ta-ta is easy. Ta-ta, it's only... But Krishna, it's so difficult to make. But the first thing he said is, Krishna, I hate you. Little baby. He's such a demon, you can't believe it. He was actually... Shishupala. We don't even want to hear about him. He was such a demon. He was married. The brother wanted to marry Rukmini to that same Shishupala. So Rukmini only heard one time from Narada Muni, who visited the palazzo, about Krishna. Narada Muni was giving a pravachan, like a lecture. And she heard about Krishna. And she immediately thought, this marriage is glupast. I want to marry Krishna. 16-year-old girl. Like we have a 14-year-old girl. She's here, yet there. Only 2 years older. Do we have a 16-year-old girl also here? No. You. Dobro. So he was small like this little girl there in the back. This tiny girl, you know. But she was determined. I will marry Krishna. This was her determination. And she wrote a letter to Krishna and said, my Dragi Lord, tomorrow I shall be married to Shishupal, but this is not good. please come and save me. You know, little girls don't know so much about the times, you know. How can Krishna come in one night all the way to where her town was, in South India somewhere? Krishna was at a different place. You know, it takes usually many days to reach that, 2 weeks. But she just, one day before the marriage, the letter came to Krishna. Not good timing. But anyways, Krishna is of course the Supreme Lord. The journey which takes many weeks, Krishna did in one night, no problem. And he just took Rukmini before the eyes of Shishupal and all the kings. See, Rukmini was coming out of the temple where she had prayed and then wanted to go to the palace. And because she was so beautiful, all the kings of the time were just standing there to look at Rukmini. Ooh, so beautiful. So in the midst of this scene, Krishna drove very calmly with his chariot, took Rukmini on the chariot, and just very calmly driving out of it. They were so shocked. See, when they saw Rukmini, they were already shocked because she was so beautiful. It's described, they fell from the horse. So much Pashuda. So much Pashuda. And then when Krishna just took Rukmini, they were so shocked, they just screamed, "No!" You know, they were screaming like this. This is wonderful. So, and then they drove, and then they all took their weapons, and Krishna said, "Look, okay, Rukmini, I think you have to drive the chariot." She was the daughter of a Kshatriya. She knew how to drive chariots. And Rukmini just went, Ale hop, you know, whatever you say. And then Krishna was just taking care of all the princesses with his celebrated bow, Shanga. He was just driving. The arrows came like a dark cloud. You know, when the dark cloud rains, there are so many raindrops, you think it's impossible to exist. So this is how a devotee wants to be taken by Krishna. Now, in order to come to this stage, we need to overcome one enemy. Who is the enemy to full surrender? We were talking about this the first day. If you have learned the seminar, you're good. Lajan ego. Who said lajan ego? It's good. What did you want to say, Dharmasita? Also, very good. It is a false ego which clouds our understanding. There are different kinds of false egos. I mean, different possible identifications. And I want to read to you a very, very nice verse from which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was often quoting, which makes it a little bit clear to you what is a real ego, a real identification. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishyo na sutra naham varni nacha grihapatir no vanasto yatirva kinto prodyan nikila paramananda punam ritaptir. Now this verse comes, now this very famous line comes. Gopi bhatu para kamalayo dasa das anudasa. You follow? It means naham vipro. I'm not a vipra, a priest. I'm not a king. Nor am I a merchant or a laborer. Nor am I a kshatriya. Vaisha Shudra. Nor am I a brahmachari, a householder, a vanaprastha, or a sannyasi. I identify myself only as a servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the Lord of the Gopis, who is the personification of the fully expanded nectarian ocean, which is full with divine ecstasy. In other words, a devotee does not even say he is the servant of Krishna. He says, I am the servant of the servant. Of the servant of Krishna. That means he considers himself a servant of his spiritual master, who is a servant of his spiritual master. You understand? Who? This is more than servant of Krishna. And Krishna is so happy about such a humble soul that he immediately takes him like he took Rukmini. Yes. So now my last point is now if you are a fully surrendered soul, you think, oh, everything should be very easy. Isn't it? Lako. Prabhupada wrote in a purport which I've just finished reading. Sometimes devotees write to me, I'm now a devotee, why have I become sick? Like our Zale has become a little sick, isn't it? He's just lying there and cooking in his own sweat. Zale soup, you know. In the Zale soup, he's cooking. Today is a better day than Krishna's milas. So, devotees sometimes ask, this is what Prabhupada said, I am a devotee, why did I fall sick? I shouldn't fall sick. You know, everything should be lako. Mejutim. Krishna sometimes makes it a little difficult for the devotee to test him. But the devotee will never, and we were speaking about this point, the devotee will never give up Krishna. You know, when it becomes difficult in a relationship, then we go away. When it becomes difficult to surrender, then we just run away. No, this is not a sign of a good devotee. Do you know the Chaktaka bird? The Chaktaka bird is a very special bird. It's not here in Beograd. It's a bird which will only fly to the cloud and drink water directly from the cloud. It never will drink water which has touched the earth, like ordinary rivers, ordinary birds. It will never go, for instance, to a river and drink there, or to a lake and drink there. And the Chaktaka bird even drinks water when there is thunder and lightning in the cloud. That's his speciality. There's only one bird in the whole world who is doing this. This is a Chaktaka bird. Sometimes in India I've seen, you know, there is a thunder coming and these birds go immediately, they don't mind. They go higher and higher and fly into the sky. And I've not seen them drinking, it's, you know, it's too far. But We have heard from the Shastra that they drink even at that time. Sometimes Krishna will correct us to bring us to the true position in life. But the devotee is never giving up the shelter of Krishna. So, my last point today is that you may now think, oh, but I'm not a Chataka bird. It is sometimes too difficult for me to practice full surrender. When the authority tells me, go on Sankirtan, or go on Khrana Sajivat distribution. Ooh. It's difficult for everyone to surrender. Because surrender means to die, let us say, if we want to say it a little drastic, it means to give up a chapter of one's life. I don't want to say it means to die, because then everyone will just run out and not practice Krishna consciousness. But you remember in the first part of the lesson, we were talking a little bit about, you know, what happens, you know, when you give up something. Yes, it's like, but this, let us better say positively, it means to take a new birth, to surrender. And sometimes we, for our own reasons, are so attached to our old ways, we don't want this change. But please remember, the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is not information. We are not sitting here like in a university where the professor says something and, oh, interesting. The whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is transformation. Transformatie, yes. We want this transformatie to take place, that we can become fully Krishna consciousness. Now, it is not so difficult as it sounds. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared and he gives everyone a chance. The speciality of this incarnation is Patra Patra Vicharanam Na Kurute Na Svam Param Vichate Deya Deya Vimashako Nahin Nava Kala Pratiksha Prabhu Sadyo Yashavaneksha Na Pranamana Yanadinadulabham Date Bhakti Rasam Saeva Bhagavan Gaura Paramme Gati. He makes no distinction between the worthy and the unworthy. He does not differentiate between himself and others. He does not consider who should be given the mercy and who should not be given the mercy. And he makes no preparation for an auspicious or an inauspicious moment. He swiftly gives the rarest nectar of pure devotion, beginning with hearing about the Lord, beholding Him, making obeisance unto Him, and absorbing one's thought in Him. That Supreme Lord, Gaura Hari, is my only, one and only shelter. Lord Chaitanya doesn't look, is this person qualified who comes? You know, when we come to the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we bring our minds with us and our bodies. We bring our illusions with us. Lord Chaitanya doesn't say, go home and first become a good devotee. He gives his mercy to anyone who sincerely surrenders to him. I personally think here, this our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has so kindly appeared on the altar of our Beograd temple, is such a merciful Lord. You are all here because of His mercy. He has planned all of your spiritual lives. And if you learn to become a little bit attentive to Lord Chaitanya, praying for His mercy every day, when you stand before the altar, when the Govinda Maripurusham prayer, it's not the time for spacing out. It is a very intense moment in your day. You should at that time be standing before the deities praying, Moi dragi gospodin, molim te, snaga, Givinsky, you know. You know. Please give me spiritual strength. It's an important time of the day. No one should sleep during this time. Cooking in his own sweat, you know. But everyone should be there. You know, it's like the king used to see his, wie sagt man, Untertanen. Die Untertanen. Milotin, you know this word, Untertanen? Untertanen, it means the people who are... Podanice. The Podanice. The king would see the Podanice. Yes.
Podanike.
Podanike, aha, not Nice. The Podanike. He would see in the morning. And the Podanike... could come to the king and asked him for things. Lord Ramachandra, who was the ideal king, would in the morning around 10 o'clock, oh, dobrodošli, around 10 o'clock, oh, Govinda, Hari Bol. So, Lord Ramachandra would receive everyone at that time. Everyone could come to Lord Ramachandra. Even the most simplest man could come and, you know, say what he wanted. For instance, sometimes it happened that a simple man, and said, "My dear Lord Ramachandra, why is it raining during the day? It should rain during the night." Lord Ramachandra considered the case and said, "Yes, that's right. It must rain during the night because then one is undisturbed during the day." And he would make the proper arrangements. He would tell the Devata, "Just, you know, your timing is not good." You know, and he would arrange the things. So everyone could come to the king and give... even sometimes criminals were coming to the king, and the king decided about their case. Very efficient system. These kings were directly inspired from Krishna, and this was their personal rule. Very good kings. Therefore, everyone loved the king and was prepared to give their life. So when the Lord sees us in the morning, He is an early riser, the Lord. He already gets up at around 4 o'clock. But then at 7 o'clock, He is dressed. You know, he's bathed, he has a garland, he's in the mood. "Come, everyone come, what can I do for you?" This is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at 7:15 in the morning. So we should come there, like the...
Podanitz.
Podanitz. The Podanitz. Like the Podanitz. We should. Podanik.
Podanitz is one.
Podanitz is many.
Is plural.
Plural. Okay. We should come like the Podanitz and just stand there. Pray, my dear Lord, give me the strength to serve you today. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give the mercy. Sometimes you see it, it's just flowing from the altars in waves, golden waves. You see? Yeah. It is coming. So, good. So now we have ended this seminar. I thank you very, very much. I must say, you were the first ones to whom I gave the seminar. I have learned many things from it. What to do better. But I want to give this seminar in other temples also, so that devotees feel more confident in surrendering their lives to Krishna. After all, we have only one heart to give. We don't have two hearts. And we must give it to Krishna. So we must learn about it. We must think about it, how to do it, and plan. Full surrender may not be possible immediately because of different anattas which are still in the heart. But at least we should start the process of surrender with the steps which we can do. And it becomes easy if on the way to full surrender we constantly hear about the glories of Krishna, because then we will want to surrender to such a wonderful Lord. We will want to be connected with Him. It will be very difficult for us to bear the thought that we are not fully surrendered. We will one day feel just, why don't I surrender fully? I want Krishna. And He can only be had by surrender. I want to give you an ontological description on surrender. It will become a little scientific, but I will express it as simple as I can. People, let us say, no, if you think of, if you want to know some chemical combination, yes? Or if you want to, then you can put it under the microscope. Mikroskopsky, or what?
Microscope.
Microscope, yes. You put it under the microscope. And then you investigate exactly how it behaves. You put one chemical and then the thing goes like, whoop, and then you understand, okay, put something else, you know, and you understand about the properties of the substance which you investigate by making a few experiments, like how does it react to certain chemicals and so on. And then you get to know the substance and the properties of the substance. What is properties? Like qualities, isn't it? Aha, you are a chemical man. Osabina. The Osabinas. You got to know them like this. But if you want to know a person, you can't drag him under the microscope, you know, just, it doesn't work like that. You have to, now, person you can do, you can also try to control him. Sudarshan, come here. Chant 16 rounds every day before 10 o'clock. And Sudarshan goes like, Sudarshan, don't think any glupas. you can try to control a person, but it will not work. It may work for some time if the person is, let us say, if he is clearly the junior, the younger, then sometimes it goes. But even in Kali Yuga, it doesn't go any longer. What you have to... Now, Krishna is not our junior. You can't control Krishna. He's not younger than you or under your control. You have to do exactly the opposite what is controlling. You have to surrender. Then only you can know him. Even see in Kali Yuga relationships, the Mush controls the Jenna, and the Jenna controls the Mush. The last weapon is boo, boo, and the Mush goes like, don't make boo, boo, boo. You know, I give you everything. Where do you want to travel? To Grecia, to Greece, in the sun, you know. Moshe, 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 you know, but don't cry like this. So in this way, everyone is controlling the other one. But with Krishna, it doesn't work like this. You know, we have to surrender to Krishna. So thank you very much. Here I want to end. Do you have any questions regarding this? Two questions. So let us start with the first.
First, it says about the spiritual growth.
Yes.
And, about the pillar is also alive. Is also
Chintamani, conscious, full of consciousness.
And my question is, it is that in that pillow it is also a soul, or that pillow is itself soul? My question. Pošto je rečeno da je u duhovnom svijetu sve sastavljeno od duše, onda konkretnom slučaju jastuka, da li je
jastuka.
Da li se u tom jastuku nalazi duša ili je sam jastuk ta duša?
There is no difference in the spiritual world between the body and the soul. In the material world, there's always a difference between body and soul, and they never become one. It is just like oil and water. The oil never ever mixes with water. In the same way, the soul is not one with the body in the material world. But in the spiritual world, the soul is the body. See, the soul in the material world has also a form, but it is not manifested. In the spiritual world, that form of the soul is manifested. It's like oil in oil. It's just oil. But let us not, now, this is Yashna. Yes? Yasnok. Yastuk or whatever. with this, you know, let us not now make funny speculations. It's enough to understand that everyone is fully conscious serving Krishna. There's only, you can understand it very simple. In this material world, we have material energy and spiritual energy, but in the spiritual world, there is only spiritual energy. It's a little impersonal understanding, then our minds don't have to digest the pillow, you know. Yes? Let us first one question, then we come back to you. Yes. Yes. Ah! Our cook has appeared. Have you brought Schlag with you? Yes, Shaila Vasini.
How should we feel and how
Mm-hmm. Please speak. We should try to satisfy the devotees. And when the devotee criticizes, is not satisfied, bringst du mal wieder dieses expanding the flow of mercy, dieses ganze Paket, da sind noch einige Sachen drin. When the devotees are not satisfied with us, we should deeply think, am I doing correct things? Medyutim, if we have convinced ourselves that we're doing correct things, if we're acting according to the instructions of our own spiritual master, then we should follow those instructions, no matter what a devotee thinks, because it may be the problem of the devotee that he cannot understand something, and we might be able to tell the devotee das hier. Gaugopal is like Hanuman. When Hanuman brought the whole mountain, he just was asked to bring a herb. So when the devotee is not satisfied with us, we should check ourselves first. Then if we are doing the correct thing, then we should try to maybe explain and help. This is the instruction which was given to me. I'm doing it. But our general feeling is, if we want to satisfy the devotees, especially, of course, our authorities, when you are criticized, then be patient, be humble, and give your respect to others. This patience, humility, and respect is your friend in Krishna consciousness. It must be learned. Usually we are so impatient when we are criticized and we want to defend ourselves, but this may not be good for our spiritual growth. Now, when you see faults in others, mistakes in others, Bhaktisiddhanta gives a very nice example, a very nice instructions how to deal with that. He says, when faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, that means go inside, find faults in yourself, know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. Isn't that beautiful? Only when you allow yourself to come from the transcendental platform where you understand that Krishna is in control, when you harm yourself like this, then others can harm you. Otherwise, their critique cannot harm you. They may not like your nose for some reason. This sometimes happens. Or there is, do you know this? There's this, sometimes you meet a person and immediately he has not spoken, he does not even smell aggressively, but immediately you feel something like a vibration. Do you know this? Or in the other way around, Sankirtan devotees know this. You meet a person and immediately he's very sympathetic. You think he has not said anything. He doesn't even look very, he looks like everyone else looks. But immediately you feel some sympathy, isn't it? This is a chemical, interpersonal chemistry. And it is also there amongst devotees. Some devotees we intuitively like, and others, hopefully I do not have to sleep in the same room with him. He most probably snores like a slouch, you know. we immediately we are not so attracted. So, in spiritual life, we should cross over this chemistry, if possible. At least, we should not become disturbed by another person's chemistry. And when we feel disturbed, we should have patience, practice patience. We should look into ourselves, find our own faults. Then we cannot be harmed by this, by others. Is this okay? Good. So, someone else? What is your name?
Dejan.
Dejan. Oh, so many Dejans.
How we can know that Krishna is satisfied with us when we do some service to him?
If you are feeling satisfied, Krishna is satisfied. No, because you are a part of Krishna. But of course, you can think you are satisfied. But you are in Maya. That is possible. But the general, but you can see, you can check, am I a Maya or is everything Moshe, you know. Then, and if you feel satisfied, Krishna is satisfied. After a day of surrender, one feels often very satisfied, isn't it? One just goes into the bed. Ah, such a nice Krishna consciousness, so good. You know, goes into this feeling of satisfaction comes because Krishna is satisfied, and therefore you who are a part of Krishna are satisfied. Just like the stomach. When the stomach is satisfied, the finger is also satisfied. Anyone else? No? Admabi?
In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first chapter, is a description of the Lord's universal form. And it is stated that the transcendentalist should meditate about that with the start, with the lotus feet. But there are descriptions, what does it, the lotus feet, those planets and like that. But,
excuse me, those planets, planetary systems. Yes,
yes, but in the other hand, we are the followers with the Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for me. I try, but it's very difficult in the mind to
meditate about the universal form.
So what should be done?
Yeah. Rachel.
But this is some drugo pitanje Srimad Bhagavatam. Prvom pogledu je dat opis univerzalnog oblika gospodine rečenja da bi transcendentalisti trebali da meditiraju o njemu. Međutim, ne znam, pošto smo mi sledbenici Krišna Čaitanja Mahaprabhu, ne znam, meni je jako teško recimo da meditiram na taj način on univerzalno. Pitao sam šta je ispravno da se uredi.
We do not generally meditate about the universal form. To meditate about the universal form, that's a tip given to materialists who think there's only matter. So they are advised to meditate about the, you know, the huge material manifestation as God. Then there's a second step. This is Brahman realizations. One is advised to meditate about the Brahman energy which holds everything. Then there is a third step, Paramatma meditation, Super Soul. Then there is Bhagavan meditation. So those who are on that level where they meditate about Bhagavan or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, don't meditate about the other stages. You don't sit down here and do Brahman meditation. However, a devotee can understand or take advantage of this conception when he sees the material nature. He can think, oh, that's also Krishna. I think I told you once that devotees took a bath. No, Prabhupada was after a preaching tour in South India with his devotees, and there was an ocean. So he sent the devotees every day into the ocean to swim. So one devotee came back and said, Prabhupada, isn't that Maya? Nice sun, nice beach, nice coconuts. This is Maya. Like Honolulu, you know, Hawaii. Tourist paradise. Medyutam, Srila Prabhupada was saying, where is Maya? The sun is the eye of God. The ocean is the stomacho of God. The palm trees are the hairs on the cosmic form of the Lord. So in this way, a devotee can even think of Krishna while he is in the material world, by thinking about the universal form. That is possible. Or say you see a nice romantic sunset. Then you can think of, yeah, universal form.
Imam vesel prirod, volim svoju službu, volim da plećem u kitlanu i ponekad tom svojom prirodom povredim vaktu kom je u tom trenutku teško duhovno životu. Čak i kad pričam lila i santipem, umjesto da ga inspirišem, njemu bude još gori. Ne znam zbog čega se to dešava, ne želim da spekuliram i ne znam da li trebam pred nekim vaktima da se održavam svojih snaga ili da ostanem osoba.
Yes.
I could join nature.
Nature.
Yes. And I like.
You have a joyful nature. Yes, I can see. You're always going.
I like my service. I like to dance in kirtan, and sometimes with this my nature, I harm some devotee who is in this moment in.
Different mood.
In heavy, some heaviness in spiritual life. If you have some troubles in spiritual life. And then, even if I speak about some lilas from Sankirtan, instead that I make inspiration with devotee, I made the versa.
Yes.
I don't know why is this happened. And I don't want to speculate. I don't know. Should I in front of some devotees keep myself this happiness and ecstasy, or to stay like I am?
Since this is a personal question, I will give you a personal answer. See, you have to sometimes keep that joyful nature a little bit for you. Because people just, it's not that, you see, people are different. And they cannot respond to that nature which you have just in the same way. They think differently. Imagine this example. A cool person from Switzerland would meet a hot-tempered Serbski. And the I've seen the Serbs when they talk, you know, they're very temperamental, and you know, and they also come very close. So the cool Swiss person will just, you know, move a little in the distance, isn't it? Because it's difficult for him to, he's just a different, has a different construction, internal construction. It's difficult for him to just relate to this personality. And therefore, when there are devotees who are maybe not so, don't have the same joyful mood, if you come before them, they just have difficulties to relate to this. So, then not, don't make like this, but you know, make maybe like this, you know. Just take it back a little bit. Then there is no difficulty. But it's nice if you have a joyful nature. That's very good. It makes life easier. This is my personal tip. But sometimes it happens that devotees are a little bit on the mentality niveau and they don't want anyone to preach to them. You can only preach to someone who wants it. You cannot give your advice to everyone. You have to preach to them if they want it. It requires a little sensitivity. You must see where is the other person if you want to help him. And I think if you... Sometimes we only ask, how do I feel now? But we should think about the other person. What does he feel? Does he maybe need encouragement now? Or maybe he needs chastisement now? Or maybe he needs friendship now? You know, we should go... There are different ways of relating to people. And you will find out what is the right way if you seriously care for them and if you honestly want to help them. Then you will understand how to present yourself. I had to learn this also because I also have a joyful nature. But if you go to everyone and just smash at him, you know, this doesn't work. Because they are in a different mood. I was asking the same question when I was young. The same question. Okay, so anyway, Madame Gopal, Moshe? Good.
Mi vrlo često tu navike da špekulišemo, to je jedan problem ovdje kod nas, a drugi problem je vrlo često jadikujemo. I ja sam pročitao da ako stalno jadikujemo, ne možemo se nikada predati Krišni. Zašto? Koji je problem? Zašto u stvari se javlja jadikovanje i zašto Krišna ne prihvata bhakti?
In this temple, it is habit that we usually lament and speculate. And he asked, what is the problem with lamentation? Why, if we lament, why we can not surrender to Krishna fully?
Krishna ne prihvata bhakti koji stalno jadikuje, osobi koji stalno jadikuje.
Krishna don't accept devotee
Yeah, so what's with lamentation? Should we always lament or not lament? This is the question, or?
Pitanje je zašto osoba jadikuje i zašto je Krišna nezadovoljan?
Why is Krishna not satisfied?
Lamentation is a material activity. There's either you desire something, that's called hankering, or you lament, oh, I didn't get it. That's two material functions of the mind. And Krishna is not satisfied so much by material activities, but by devotional service. Krishna kaje matra spasha stukontiya shitoshna duka suga dukada. We should learn to tolerate and not lament all the time. Imagine we would all sit now here, oh my dragi bhakta, so hot. Oof, so hot. Oof. I don't feel inspired to give a lecture, it's too hot. Oof. You know, we would be and you would also go like, correct, it's too hot. And we would just sit here and lament, you know. This is material. We must tolerate the hotness, the hot temperature.
It is that we so much
take care of ourselves that we lament.
Yes. Okay, I'm getting milked for questions. You all ask me questions where you want me to preach to another person. This is not, I mean, it's all right, but let us now have, let us see, what is the time now? Oh, this is much too late. Thank you very much. We will stop here. This evening I want to say we will start with our seminar, The Three Modes of Material Nature, and it will be very interesting for you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gauri Dai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi ki jai,